This is Mornings.
891 Mornings with Ali.
On 891.
Ali Clark.
ABC Adelaide.
Reconciliation Week starts tomorrow, and this weekend is the AFL's Indigenous Round, where we celebrate Indigenous culture and communities. One way this is done is by the design and wearing of an Indigenous jumper. And I'm very pleased to say I have one of the instigators, the authors almost, of the Adelaide Crows Indigenous jumper with me in the studio right now. It is this man.
Kicked forward by Mitchell. The foot race is on. Jenkins has gone into defence. He offers support for Talia. Turns onto his right boot. Kicks around the wing. Sloan sits underneath it. Lynch and Walker fly. Kennedy's the crummer. Sloan dives in. Walker's got Betts out the back. He'll kick it forward. And Adelaide will win. Betts will run to the goal line and kick the goal. Eddie Betts with his fourth goal. And Adelaide prove they are a genuine contender in season 2016.
Eddie Betts, welcome to the ABC.
Thanks for having me, Ali.
When you listen to that sort of coverage, does it take you instantly back to the moment when you've kicked those goals, or once you've kicked them, does it just float off into the ether?
Oh, no. Just hearing that now, it just reminded me of that moment in particular. So, yeah, once you listen to it, it takes you back.
And can you remember so many parts of your games, or does it all sort of fall by the wayside after playing so many and you just remember one or two magic moments?
Well, like you said, I can remember little things that I've done in the game. So once I'm watching a game that years back, I could remember, I tackled this dude here running and I've kicked the goal from over here, and just little things.
So how does that turn around when you forget to, I don't know, pick up one of the children and Anna, your wife, turns to you and says, why can't you remember this?
She's always said, why can't you remember names? Because yeah. I get introduced to a lot of people and I said, babe, I remember faces, just not names.
All right, tell me about the jumper, the Indigenous jumper the Crows will run out in against GWS on Saturday night. How did it all come about?
Well, at the end of last year, the club approached all of us Indigenous boys on the Crows list, and Cam being an artist, Cam Alice Yeoman, that is, they asked us if we wanted to take part in designing the Indigenous jersey, and Cam came up with a beautiful design, but then said, no, I want to concentrate on playing footy and hopefully break into the senior side. So then I rang my auntie, who's Auntie Susie Betts, who's a designer, artist in South Australia in Port Lincoln, and she said she'll be happy to do it. She drew up a few designs and sent it through to the club, and we had to tinker with it a little bit because the whole design couldn't fit on the jersey. So she tinkered with it, sent it back, and yeah, we finally got it done.
And so what does it mean to her and to you, this jumper? What does it represent?
Obviously it means a lot, you know, especially for our family. Down in the far west in the Cedruna region and Port Lincoln. So, you know, our family is very proud, and the jumper is very special. You know, it means moving together as one. And, you know, it's the Garangra means crow in the Warringal culture down in the far west, like I said. And yeah, it's very special. And she said that she put a lot of healing. It's the crow's a messenger, a powerful messenger. The magic man, and she said she put a lot of healing in it, which is good. And I think I spoke to, you know, 5AA to Roy and Bix and said it's good to have healing in this jersey, because what the Crows have been through in the last 3 years, it's very, very
tough.
Sad, very tough. And, you know,
how does Indigenous culture deal with things like death? Everybody took a part, I guess, in being involved in celebrating Phil Walsh's life and commemorating him in death. How does Indigenous culture do that?
Yeah, it's, as you said, it's very sad. And I guess I can give you an example. My grandfather passed away last year when I landed in the Gold Coast to play against the Gold Coast. And because we're such a big family, you know, from... He lives in WA, in Kalgoorlie, and most of the family's in Port Lincoln in South Australia and in Cedruna as well. So we had to wait 2 weeks for the whole family to get across to our Barry, our grandfather. And, yeah, it's like a big gathering and to celebrate his death and his life, you know, for living so long. Being an Indigenous person, he'd lived till he was 90 something. So that's a great achievement for my grandfather. So it was more so a celebration, and everyone gets together and celebrate his life.
What other aspects of Indigenous culture is most important to you? Is it the music? Is it the family? Is it a sense of celebration at special events?
I think the most important thing to Indigenous culture is family. I mean, I grew up, my mum and dad split up when I was 4 or 5, you know, through violence. And dad lived in South Australia, still lives in Port Lincoln, and mum shifted across to Western Australia. And, you know, we lived with mum's mum and dad in 12 Boomerang Crescent in Calgary Boulder. So the street was actually called Boomerang. And, you know, mum lived there with her brother, her sister, her two brothers and her two sisters, and all the kids. So there was about 18 kids in a 3-bedroom house with their mum and dad. So it's like a big family, and family means everything in Indigenous culture. You know, we look after each other. And going back to the Port Lincoln or Kalgoorlie, I go back and I buy some bread and buy some lunch, and it's not just for me. It's for, you know, everybody. So we all share. And yeah, I guess the most important thing to Indigenous people is family.
You said that you grew up in a violent household. You're now the wonderful father to two incredible children, Billy and Louie. What you've grown through and been through, how do you think that's changed you, and how does it make you feel as a father now?
It changed me a lot. I mean, growing up around it, I thought it was normal, to be honest. But most of that was drawn through alcohol. So once, like my dad, for example, his dad used to, you know, be aggressive to his mother. So I think it's been, you know, brought down, watching that. So it's been passed down. And I think, you know, watching it and thinking it's normal growing up, which is not. It's not normal to, you know, lay a hand on a girl. So, and that's why now I became an ambassador of the Childhood Foundation. That's violence against women and children. That's dealing with trauma, especially in the community. So I think now as a father looking at your kids, you know, and your wife, and you love your wife and your kids, just thinking, you know, I couldn't do that. And I think the next generation of Indigenous people, especially the Indigenous people in the AFL, can change that for their kids, and, you know, and make a difference in Indigenous culture.
Communities.
Yeah, and community.
It is 13 past nine. My guest is Eddie Betts from the Adelaide Crows. We're talking about Reconciliation Week and Indigenous culture, given that we are heading into the AFL's Indigenous round. You said family is everything. Your family has extended a fair bit. You have a lot of the players dropping in, what, 3-4 nights a week to be fed by you and Anna?
Yes, well, we like to make it a very, you know, a home away from home. You know, me and my wife Anna, we have the doors open for, you know, Cam, Charlie, even Anthony Wilson. Ramsey is not on the list anymore. Wayne and Kurt, and so, and their partners as well, and they're around, you know, 3 times. We call it mob night, and so they bring they know exactly what they bring. So Curly, Cam Alishon will bring drinks, Charlie will bring the snacks, Curly will bring the dessert, and Wayne will just bring Wayne. And, you know, we have turns of cooking. We come, we have fun. We bring board games. We play games. But the most important thing, like around the dinner table, we've got a thing where we would say, what have we learned today? And we would go around and to each one of us and say, what have you learned today, Cam? What have you learned today? Mm. And, you know, we...
So what sort of things are they learning? Is it football focused, or is it? Are you giving them the ability to learn outside of that
as well?
It's
both. You know, if Cam learned something today at training, you know, about different positioning and stuff, he said, "Oh, I learned not to stand here, but stand there." Mm-hmm. You know, Doc Clark taught him about where to stand with the ruckman hitting it to him. So, yeah, it's about anything, about life, footy, anything that comes to your head, what you learn.
We've got a text here from Helen of Victor Harbour. Saw the design of the Guernsey in the paper. It's beautiful. Well done. And go Betts, go the Crows. So there you go.
Thanks, Helen.
What sort of support have you received then? You've just spoken about the support you're giving other players. I know for a fact, or you've said before, that when you first went to Carlton, you almost didn't speak for 2 years.
Yeah, it's hard, especially being Indigenous and you get drafted from the communities and you come into this environment where everyone in the community is Indigenous. And you move into where it's all Australians and there's no Indigenous player there. So when I first got to Carlton, Corey McGrath and Andrew Walker was then, I didn't really speak to anyone but an Indigenous player.
Why was that?
Just how I've grown up. Like I've grown up around all my brothers and sisters and I was very shy. I was a shy kid and I didn't really speak. And, you know, if you know other clubs that's got young Indigenous players in it, they're very shy and they don't really talk to anyone. So I find that if you got a strong or an older Indigenous player at the club, it's easier to talk to. And that's basically what me and Anna have done. We've opened up our house to these young Indigenous kids that come into the AFL system because a lot of them get homesick and want to go back home. And if they have a home away from home, it makes it a lot easier for them to settle into the big smoke, into the cities. And
well, what are those challenges? Like, how have you found then incorporating where you've come from and your Indigenous culture into what is an incredibly highly structured and competitive footy environment? All of a sudden, you have someone handing you a piece of paper telling you what to wear, what to eat, where to be. You'd have to train here. Have you found that challenging?
Yeah, I have, and it's tough. And like I said, you've got to... It was tough for me because I've got told what to do, what to wear, and all this hard training and what to eat. And if you've watched me back in my early days, I was a little fatty, so I didn't eat all the
right
foods. Yeah, didn't do what I was told. So, but like I said, Corey McGrath at that time took me under his wing. You know, he would invite me around to his house every night before a game and go have some pasta. So I think it's good to have an older Indigenous player at the club. It makes it a lot easier. And I think, you know, clubs these days are knowing, you know, players react differently how they're spoken to. And if a young Indigenous player that's from the communities, doesn't look you in the eye when you're talking to him, that's just because he's shy and they know they can't get offended. It's not disrespectful.
Okay.
So I think clubs are getting a better understanding of these young Indigenous players that's coming through.
Is that why you took to hiding vegetables in Charlie Cameron's food when he came over to make sure he was eating the right thing?
Yeah, well, it was a bit different, Charlie, because he doesn't like eggs. He doesn't like any other food, so it was tough. And Anna was like just smashing up all these vegetables, hiding it in the mince and making mince patties. But Charlie's grown into a man now, if I want to say it, because he's moved out of home. He's moved away from us. Him and his partner have got their own house, and you know they've learnt to cook, they've learnt to save money, and all this kind of stuff. So, and now he's playing good footy, which is good. So,
you sound very comfortable being a mentor to these people. How comfortable are you being seen as a role model to everyone just because you're very good at kicking the ball?
Yeah, well, it's very important, you know, and especially it's not being a role model just to Indigenous players; it's non-Indigenous players too. You know, I've got young kids that look up to you, and like you said, it's very important. Like I love being a role model. I love setting examples for these young kids. And like I said, it's not Indigenous kids, and it's non-Indigenous too, but especially for the non-Indigenous kids. You know, it's if they're stuck in the communities and they think, you know, they haven't got a chance of making AFL footy, they've always got a chance. It's more so about coming out of your comfort zone, moving away from family, and you know, putting your mind to it. You can, because I'm sure, pretty sure most Indigenous kids in the communities can play AFL footy. You know, they're very talented, but it's the hard work that comes with it, and they have to step out of their comfort zone
and leave family and everything else.
And that's where it becomes, you know, a lot homesick. You know, becomes involved. But if you got an Indigenous player, an older Indigenous player at that team that you go to
lead you through,
it makes it a lot easier for these young Indigenous kids coming through.
Being overwhelmed with comments. I love you, Eddie Betts. That's from Fulham. Great to hear Eddie on the radio. What a great role model. Matt even called in to say Eddie's more than a fantastic player. He's a fantastic person. And Pat wishes you all the very best this weekend. Put your best boots on and play your usual brilliant game. You're not going to be able to fit out that door with the big head I'm giving you right
Thanks,
now.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, so looking ahead, what do you, in your experience with your family and your Indigenous communities, see as the big challenge for Indigenous communities now and moving forward?
Oh, I think personally, you know, it's these kids in the communities. Now, there's a lot of drugs going through these communities and a lot of alcohol. And you know, these kids have been put in jail, put in cells. So I think we've got to set up programs for these young Indigenous kids who are bored, really, and they've got nothing to do outside, and they're hanging around the wrong people. So I think we've got to set up programs. I'm just talking about Port Lincoln in particular, where the young youth, and it's not just
Indigenous youth. It's Australian youth too, where they wanted to put in a curfew where you know, these kids are not allowed out after nine. So I guess having these programs in place after school hours, you know, help these kids a lot. And I think, you know, they've just got to have the right people around them as well. You know, surround yourself with you know, the right people, and not people that bring you down.
Tony Armstrong, former Adelaide Crows, Sydney player, Collingwood player, has written a column in there where he talks a lot about incarceration of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. He says that you're more likely to be arrested and put in jail and die there than you were 25 years ago. He says, we're currently on track to have Aboriginal people comprise 50% of our prison population by 2020. In 1992, the ratio was 1 in 7. Are you seeing that? Are you?
Yes, I am. And that's why I was speaking to a journalist back in Port Lincoln, where she said a lot of these Indigenous kids are getting locked up. And that's because doing the wrong thing. And like I said, there's a lot of drugs now going through these young, through these communities, and these kids are taking these drugs and doing the wrong things, and they're getting locked up. And, you know, back in the day, my dad's been in jail. And if I've been in jail, I've been locked up as well.
Have you? As
a junior, yeah.
What for?
I was hanging around the wrong people. I was breaking into houses, and I've got locked up, put in the cells, but not just for a few hours.
What was that like for you?
It was tough. You know, I was shaken up. I cried to my mum. I said, these cops are, you know, grabbing me rough, and they threw me in the back of the paddy wagon. But for me, I was doing the wrong thing as a young kid as well.
And so how did you change then and change the people that you were around to?
I think I didn't change then. It was more so I think I changed. I played for 9 years at Carlton, and I ended up getting locked up, I think, after a boat cruise at Carlton. And that became through alcohol. I went out and, you know, I got locked up for being drunk in public. So after that, I was on front page of the Herald Sun, you know, saying bad boy Eddie Betts has been locked up. And then after that, I said, I've got to make a change, you know. And my wife, Anna, at that time helped me a lot. And, you know, I still speak about it this day when I go to schools. You know, I've got a photo of me on the backpack of the advertiser where it said, you know, you change your life around. You know, Eddie, you're basically the face of Adelaide, kind of. And then I show him this picture, you know, 5 years ago where I've been locked up. Eddie's career is done. To the
changed.
Photo that I have over here in Adelaide, you know, the way that I've changed. And I said, you know, you just got to – and it had a lot to do with alcohol, so –
And you said your dad had also spent time
in jail? Yeah, my dad had also spent time in jail for about 5 years, I think, over in Perth. So, and his dad actually passed away in jail.
He died in custody?
He died in custody.
Have you spoken about that before?
No, I haven't. And, you know, he had diabetes, and the cops back then thought he was drunk. And so he died in custody. He was really sick, and they thought he was... thought he was drunk. So if you, I think I've don't know much about my grandfather because I was 3 at the time he died in custody, and my grandmother and my father talk about it a lot. And, you know, if you Google it, it'll the story's there, and it'll tell you exactly what happened, and, you know, that he's passed away and
how do you process or deal with these challenges that your pop and your dad and everybody has faced to now living the life that you do, which is a very fortunate life, happy family, earning very good money, playing a sport that you love?
Yeah, and I guess it's up to us. Like I said, it's up to us now. There's 74 Indigenous players in the AFL, and it's up to us to make a stand and make a change. You know, we have to change the way where the young Indigenous guys are growing up in the communities, you know, and our kids. We have to set an example for our kids. And if we do that, and hopefully they'll just pass on through generations. So, yeah, it's up to us to make the stand, make a change, sorry. And, or at the moment, you know, we're trying as best as we can to make that change. But we've got to send a stronger message to these communities.
Well, thank you so much for being so open and honest with me and, opening your culture to all of us. Again, so many people coming through. Congratulations, Eddie, a champion person on and off the field. Go Crows. So lovely to hear the true man behind the sports legend. Eddie's gentle, caring, loving nature and honesty is inspirational. Again, you're not going to be able to get out of here with your big head. Before I do let you walk out, though, Archie Roach, you brought Archie Roach over to talk and sing for the players down at the Adelaide Football Club yesterday. What was that like?
Yeah, the boys loved it. It was, you know, yesterday we had a smoking ceremony around 12 o'clock at the footy club. And then we cooked up some kangaroo meatballs for the boys and some damper and for some lunch, and they loved that. And then after that, about one, we had Archie Roach come in and sing and tell his stories to the boys. And that was fantastic. You know, the boys got a lot out of it. And with Archie, you know, when he tells his stories, he puts them into the songs as well. And each song that he sung, he told a story beforehand. So the boys got to know what he was singing about. And one of the main songs that he sung was "They Took the Children Away." And he explained to the boys about the stolen generation. And he was three when he was taken from his mum and dad. He lived in the communities in Warrnambool, just outside of Warrnambool in Victoria. And back in those days, you know, they lived 20 k's out of Warrnambool. And he said his parents walked to town to get some food for him and his brothers and sisters. And in those days, you know, Indigenous people weren't allowed in town at night. So at 6 o'clock, they had to get out of town before dark. And, you know, from six at night to six in the morning, Indigenous people weren't allowed in town. So they walked in, and when the parents got home, the kids were gone. He told that message. But the main message that he said, that he got put into a foster home, and, you know, his parents were white. And he grew up around that, and he thought everything was normal until people started saying that your parents are white and you're black, and he didn't think anything of it until that point. Then he knew that something was different, felt different. And he said to a message to the boys that said, no matter what, I love my foster parents, my white parents, till the day I die. I buried them, and you know, and I love everybody. I love Australians and I love my Indigenous culture, but the message is we have to close the gap and bring each other in as one. And the boys got a lot out of that, and they really loved it too.
I guess I better ask you at least one question. Are you going to win on the weekend against GWS?
Yes, we are.
Okay, that's all you need to tell me. Eddie Betts, I can't thank you enough. I hope you enjoy Indigenous Round and also everything else that's involved with the upcoming Reconciliation Week that starts tomorrow.
Thanks for having me, Ali.
This is Mornings with Ali Clark
on 891 ABC Adelaide.